Scripture reading and prayer is found for those who want to look up the word. And if you can either get right next to someone who has it, or there's a Bible possibly in front of you in the pew, but it's Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6:4. Deuteronomy 6:4 says the following. These are God's words to you and I today, not just Israel ages ago. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them. Well, why don't we just pause there? Because right there is the main principle that the folks who prepare Acts 1 and 2 that are about to happen had in their hearts to share with all of you, including our musician today that is visiting us, Michael Gibbs, who has blessed this community for decades. And that is that there is a story to tell, and the day of Pentecost is one of those times when we can honor these verses, when it says, don't forget the story of what God's power can do in a personal life and in a community. Don't forget it. So here, I don't know when we're not supposed to be talking about it. It's when you're standing up and you're laying down. Anytime you talk, may it be transmitted through your attitudes and your words and your decisions and choices that you make. We mustn't stop talking about it. May I read you one more inspired statement? Why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not talk of it, pray of it, preach concerning it? You know there is no good answer to that question. So it should just lead us to pray. Can we kneel, those who can? And I invite you to enter into a spirit of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, as we consider the materials that were present in your sacred word and also in your prophet, I ask you that you give us the same spirit that inspired them. Yes. That you can do for us what you always intended to be. And Lord, I ask you that you would fill us with your spirit. We probably haven't met or satisfied all your conditions to receive the latter rain. But we're going to meet one of them today. And we're going to satisfy that one condition. And that's the one where you told us, why don't you begin by asking for it? And so, Lord, I ask that we as a people here in this congregation would like to ask you to give us the latter day, latter rain in this time of Earth's history, that you would fill us with that spirit that we so desperately need to benefit each other here and also others outside of this building in our community. So, Lord, I ask you this gift in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. If you can open your hymn books to page 270, and if we can all stand to sing. And this song is basically a call to the Holy Spirit. So let's join together and sing that song.
Let's imagine we are waiting with the followers of Jesus the night before the Feast of Pentecost. They have gathered in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. It is 9 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. And during these days, the disciples have experienced a sweet repentance. They have confessed their petty differences towards one another, their jealousy, their pride. Their hearts are now all as one in unity and are filled with love for Christ who gave his all for them. How they wish they could live the last 3.5 years all over again. He told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. But what are they waiting for? I wonder if they are puzzled, or maybe excited, or maybe afraid. Jesus told them that they would go and make disciples of all nations. But when will they get to go? How will they tell people about Jesus? The disciples are telling stories as they wait and pray. And oh, look. Here comes Mary, the mother of John Mark now.
Tonight the streets are crowded. In my arms are 2 loaves of bread and a full wineskin, all of which I have nearly dropped as I weave through the people. I am trying to get back to the disciples. Jesus told us to wait in Jerusalem. We are waiting together, praying, singing, sleeping, and eating, waiting and hoping. Tomorrow, the festival of Pentecost begins. People have come from every corner of the world, somehow squeezed into my path. I walk around people from Arabia, Rome, and Mesopotamia. In their arms are grains of wheat, the first fruits of the harvest that they will bring to the temple tomorrow. I climb the stairs to the upper room. Before I reach the top, above the din in the streets, I hear that the disciples have started to tell a story. It is the story of how languages and people became confused many, many years ago at the Tower of Babel. After Noah and his family had been saved in the ark, their descendants filled the earth, but their hearts had not changed. I recognize Peter's voice telling the story.
And as we have read in Genesis, then the people said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And that is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city.
I slip into the room at the end of the story to see Peter sit back down as James speaks out a bit of a psalm in response.
The Lord looks down from heaven, and behold, all the people in the world. He fashions all their hearts of them, and they understand all, and he understands all their works. There is no king that can save by a mighty arm. A strong man is not delivered by his great strength.
The other disciples nod. Matthias has just been chosen to take Jesus Iscariot's place. There are 12 disciples for the 12 tribes of Israel that God had Moses lead out of Egypt with a pillar of smoke and fire, not so they could build a tower up to God, but so that they could be led to the mountain where God's glory would come down. 50 days after they were rescued in the Passover and delivered through the Red Sea, the 12 tribes of Israel arrived at Mount Sinai. I set down my bread as Andrew stands and begins to recite the story of the first Pentecost.
On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people to the foot of the mountain to meet God. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up as if in a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. The blast of the trumpet grew louder. The Lord summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up and spoke to God, and God answered him in thunder.
Moses went up to God and brought us back down the law. 9 days ago, we saw Jesus lifted up in a cloud on top of the Mount of Olives. When will he come down again? Could there be something as wonderful as the law that could be coming to us? He told us to stay in Jerusalem and to wait there for the promise of the Father. What could it be? What are we waiting for? James sang a psalm as Andrew sat down.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who wait upon him and his love, to pluck their lives from death and to feed them in time of famine.
My stomach growls on the word famine. The room now smells of bread, but I've been too busy listening to give any to the hungry people gathered. More than 12 disciples are here. I turned, and a few women have come over to help, Salome, Martha, and some of the Marys, as they call us, who are honored to share the name of the Mother of Jesus. These were some of the women first to know nearly 50 days ago when they went out early morning to find the tomb empty. They were first to proclaim the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. After the bread has been blessed and broken and is shared around the room, Thomas stands and begins the story of Ezekiel being taken to the Valley of Dry Bones, where he sees a picture of God's promise of resurrection. Now, of course, we think of Jesus. When we hear the ancient story, Thomas tells us that God commanded Ezekiel,
"Prophesy to these bones and say, O dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. Thus says he, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come on you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. These bones are the house of Israel. They say, our bones are completely dried up. Our hope is lost and we are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live."
We are waiting for that day when God will put the spirit within his people and make them live again, fully alive and following God's way. James then sings out another psalm.
Oh, souls, wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Indeed, our hearts rejoice in him, for in his holy name we put our trust.
In the corner, there is my young son, John Mark, who takes some bread and passes it to the ancient-looking man sitting next to him, who says little but hears everything. The old man takes a small bit of bread, giving the remaining share to two slaves who sit on his other side, a young couple that sing and chant beautifully. Young men, old men, young women, slaves, male and female, it's like the prophet Joel. I stand and speak God's word through the prophet. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. Everyone has gotten bread now. Then John stands and takes a wineskin and pours from it into an empty cup. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing, John began and sighs as he remembers Jesus' words. Jesus cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Softly, softly, I can hear the couple in the corner sing, "O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy." And then just the phrase, "Wait for the Lord," over and over again. Our prayer is a song as the night stretches towards the dawn. Wait for the Lord.
After the crucifixion, the disciples were hiding for fear of the Romans, and they were also feeling pretty guilty for all that had taken place. And Jesus steps into the room, just appears, and he says, "Peace be with you. Fear not." And he's saying that to all of us too. My encouragement to you this morning, these are songs, there are a couple songs about Peter, his struggle, that my encouragement is don't allow yourselves to be forgiven. Forgive yourself for your past so that you can receive God's forgiveness. I'm happy that he forgave us, but if we don't, do you forgive yourself? That's the key, I think. It's so important. So be free. My Lord, my word, just be free this morning. Free from all that guilt and shame and fear. Just receive that this morning. I recall something in the way you called my name. An ordinary fisherman. You called me friend and took me in. How everything had changed. Because then I knew I'd never be the same. Love came and rescued me. I gave up everything to follow. Now I know all that I was before just won't matter anymore, for I am a new man, 'cause I have seen my Savior face to face. I recall standing in the courtyard by the fire, the words still ringing in my head. Three times before the break of morn, you would be denied. Yet I saw no judgment in your eyes. Isn't that good? Oh, love came and died for me. I gave up everything to follow. Now I know. And it lives no more, for I am a new man, 'cause I have seen my Savior face to face. The dark night, the new day, the stone was rolled away, my Savior. Ascended to heaven, I knew that you would come again. That moment I will arise, worship before your throne, bow down to you alone, are worthy, so worthy, and with the saints of I'll sing out a brand new song in heaven forever when I see my Savior face to face. Oh. When I see my Savior face to face. Yes, come on. This is a privilege to be here with you this morning. I'm grateful to be asked, and I love this family here. It's a good bunch. You guys are grateful. The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness. I rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. A gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window. I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if it was alive, it was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air grew still with the strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees. I just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
He's alive, he's alive, From the fields it came, the first sheaf cut from that year's harvest. It was carried high through the streets, crammed with visitors, onto the temple. And the priest offered it to God, giving thanks for the good land and for the gifts of the harvest. For this day was the celebration of first fruits, Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. Jerusalem was bustling, full of people come to make their offering for the first fruits in gratitude to God for bringing us home after years of wandering in the wilderness. And here I was too.
We were all together, us disciples, inside, away from the crowds, we were waiting. Suddenly, it began. The whole house was filled with the sound of rushing wind. This was no gentle harvest breeze. It was a terrifying, shocking, violent, the sound of power. It rattled every door and every shutter. And then we watched, wide-eyed, as something like fire flickered above our heads. A tongue of flame, a shimmering bird hovering above us, without burning us. And then it was as if the fire that breathed above us suddenly blazed within us. God's Holy Spirit lived in us, and we found ourselves filled with new and sudden knowledge. The Holy Spirit had come. I began to speak, we all did, in every language under heaven. It came pouring out of our mouths. So we rushed outside, and all around us, people were staring, open-mouthed. But if you think they were shocked, it was nothing to what we were feeling. Suddenly, I was a linguist, and not only that, I knew what to say. All this power, God's power, was pouring through me. I threw my arms in the air, and I laughed with the wonder of it. No wonder people thought we were drunk.
That is what I thought. Disgraceful, I thought. Totally inappropriate for this time in the morning. Shouting and waving their hands in the air. So drunk. I decided to stay far away from them. But then, out of the jumble of sounds, I caught a phrase. God's deeds of power? I stopped and stared. It was in my language. My own language. I am from Cyrene. And since when did Galileans speak my language? There were Parthians, Elamites, Mesopotamians, and Egyptians in the crowd. You get the picture? The whole world and their wives were there. And these men, uneducated Galileans, were speaking all of their languages. How did they get to be experts in dozens of languages? It was amazing. But they weren't drunk. I realized that. Well, not drunk on wine at any rate.
Yeah, the crowd was pretty stirred up by what we were doing, yes. That's when I began to tell them, listen, I'll tell you what is happening. We are not drunk. This is God's promise come true. Remember what the prophet Joel said long ago. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon slaves, both men and women, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone
who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
There is nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God shall clear the way by removing every hindrance so that the Lord can pour out his spirit upon a languishing and impenitent congregation. We are like cups waiting for the living water to fill us to overflowing. We are waiting for the Spirit to pour out on the young and the old, the slave and the free, male and female. We are waiting for the breath of God to enter us and make us really live. We are waiting at the foot of the mountain for the fire and the wind and the thunder of God to make us his people. And as we close with prayer, all right, I want us to have this responsive prayer. It'd be up on the screen. All right. Spirit of God.
Put love in my life.
Spirit of God.
Put joy in my life.
Spirit of God.
Make me patient.
Spirit of God.
Make me kind.
Spirit of God. Spirit of God,
give me faithfulness.
Spirit of God,
give me self-control.
Amen. Amen.
Can we sing together hymn 258? Baptize us anew.
Presence of Jesus Christ be with you, to keep you, and to save you in God's everlasting kingdom. May he give you power from day to day to deliver you from the hands of the evil one, and may his peace be your strength. I pray that he will bless you, your spouses, your children and grandchildren, that you will keep them and save them all. And Lord, be with us throughout this coming week. Baptize us anew now, and until that day when you come, may we be filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for always hearing and answering all our prayers. Amen.